She's gorgeous.
Yeah. Super chilled too.
Yeah. Well, she might be picking up on your energy. I hear you've been with her the whole time. You know you could go home and get some sleep.
Oh, I'm fine, Rue. Everyone that comes in here keeps telling me to go home and rest.
Well, probably because you look exhausted.
I'm good.
You know she doesn't need a 24-hour guard.
No, you're right. She needs a mum or a dad who care about her.
Yeah, she does.
Just can't wrap my head around it. And how could someone walk away from her? What mother would do that?
Well, a mum, I'd say, who wasn't coping very well.
You have a kid, that's your job. If you need help, you figure it out. Or you put your hand up and you get help. What you don't do is leave them on the beach in a bag like they're rubbish.
Oh, I don't think anyone could look at her and see her that way. I mean, clearly someone loved her.
She was left on the beach.
She was dressed. She had a blanket and a toy. She was a good wife.
Anything could have happened to her. If I hadn't found
anyone,
I did.
I know, but look, if a mother isn't coping...
You protect your children. You find a way. Family is everything.
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Best baby name. So, what would be your best baby name?
Oh, gosh. You want me to name a baby? That's a lot of responsibility. are we talking about baby girl off Homer's?
Well,
I was quite keen on little baby Jim Bag, but it's a girl, so you can't really call it Jim.
Can baby Jim not stick here?
Yeah, maybe is Jim gender neutral? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it is now. We've got Stevie. We've got a Jim.
true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would your choice have been?
I wouldn't have named it.
No.
That thing.
what's the word? We're not good with the children, are we? If it's got four legs, a tail and a face, like a furry face, I'm into it. You know what I mean? But with kids, I can tolerate my nephew and my niece. But even then, I'm like, can you bring them back when they're old enough to go to the pub and get me around?
Ladies and gents, we've found the mother.
Shh.
How are you? Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, not too shabby. Yeah, I'm good. Mm-hmm. We've just put the world to rights. You've just given me so much financial advice off air. Sorted my life out.
So if you're in prison for fraud next year, it's all my fault, and now it's on this recording.
Exhibit A, court. We are Science Sophie. This is Coastal News.
Oh no. Whoops.
You're in the dark. What was a good one, this? It was a good one.
Oh, I remember this one. Little baby Jim Bag, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bloody hell. What did you think of Home and Away this week? The weekly question.
I have mixed feelings. I have very mixed feelings this week.
Turning up here mixed. So
yeah, mixed. I started off the week and I think I texted you and I was like, I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. I'm not into this. I'll be honest, I'm just not into this baby storyline. It's not grabbing me. It's not the kind of storyline I would be interested in anyway. It's not pitched at me. So I'm not into it. But Cash, mm-hmm. Not only is he saving Stevie, he's saving my Homer's experience this week because I am loving the Cash storyline. So, yeah. Mixed. How about you?
On a yacht down the marina.
Exactly.
It's okay. Do you know what? I don't hate Tani's storyline as much as you do at present time before anyone comes at me in about 3 weeks. Because I'm a bit... I'm very fickle. Regular listeners will know.
How do you feel about mine? Love it or hate him this week?
Indifferent this week.
Oh, okay. Wow. See, that's different again. Yeah.
What I'm liking is I feel like it's really well written. Like emotive. There's emotion in the writing and the performances, so I'm quite enjoying that side of it.
Yeah.
it's tricky to follow. It's tricky for me to get on board with in terms of the plot, I guess. But I do sort of take stock because I'm watching this differently, right? Let's face it. Do you know what? I really like the way that was said, or you know, I really like the way that was. I mean, the way the show's that just feels different. It's shot different. We've spoken about it last week. So there's other things I'm really enjoying, to be honest. And I agree, Bodyguard Cash is there to behold.
Saving me this week, literally.
It's happened, hasn't it?
Yes, I'm liking that a lot. I think with the Tane thing, I'm finding myself just rolling my eyes a lot. You know, as soon as Flick found out about it and Flick starts researching and all, and I was just like, my eyes were just rolling into my head and I was like, I'm going to give myself a headache here.
Yeah, that bit, I was the same, actually.
Cash saved that scene for me because I was a bit, I was a bit like, I'm going to fast forward in a minute. I'm getting to that point now where I'm just like, I'm over it. And then Cash
didn't... Your fast-forward moment. Your fast-forward era. No,
right? Haven't had one of them for a while. Not since Chloe's dad, you know? So not since the Matthew days have I done a fast-forward. So, but then Cash, again, we'll talk about it later, but he did bring it back for me and I stayed in the room. I was like, no, okay.
Yeah, he was the voice of reason, the voice of any of us watching, wasn't he?
So, and there was a Gary mention, so obviously I'm happy.
Squeal.
Gary Claxon.
Lovely. Now, speaking of Claxons, wonder if anyone gets in touch this weekend, because Friday was absolutely littered with a load of Coastal News Claxons. A load of them. And we're not very happy about the negative press we're getting.
No, we're getting dragged. Mr. Stewart's not happy with us at all, is he? Let's face it. I mean, this really? Peter, we need to disassociate ourselves from this Peter bloke.
We do, Tell him I want to see him in the office in a bit. Rue's marching down to Coastal News HQ in Yabby Creek, I think, isn't she?
I know, yeah.
What's going on? Lock the door.
Yeah. Well, luckily we work from home, Si, so, you know, we're safe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. There'll be no egg on my car or anything. Yeah. Oh, blimey. So we're going to have to, you know, really get people on board with the Coastal News again at some point because it's just getting some bad vibes.
Bad press.
Right, until then, do you want your headlines? Because despite all the bad press, we're still churning it out. Do you want your headlines?
I do.
Tane doubles down on his support for baby Maya. Cash bags himself an exclusive new job role. Levi is back in town to try and patch things up with Mackenzie. And Bree issues an ultimatum.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, Marley is trying to talk some sense and some reality to Tane. You'll remember we left Tane being told that his resident status in Australia means he may not be able to be a foster carer for Maya. And this was a bit of a problem. He's at the hospital still, worrying about it, literally joined at the hip with this baby. And Marley's there and he's telling him, as a very supportive friend and housemate would, you know, the rules are harsh and they're not going to bend them. And Tane's just saying, look, a little paperwork won't stop me. I'll do whatever it takes. And you're thinking, it's not just a little paperwork. I mean, we have question marks about why he's not a resident anyway, to be honest, at this stage. But surely that's paperwork that you would have done before you've reached this juncture, you know, but there's been other life milestones. And I'm thinking, if you were going to do it, why only for this stranger baby? Yeah. You know, why would you do it for your own good at some point? So it's a little hard to get on board with him at that point for that. And then Rue very kindly interrupts and arrives with all the donations coming from the community. And she thinks Maya is gorgeous and says to him, you know, go home and sleep, you know, for the umpteenth time. And he's like, she doesn't need a guard, she needs a mum. And what kind of mother would do this? He's spouting all this stuff again about the mum, isn't he? Mm. That you and I sort of scoffed at him for last week.
Mm.
And then what ensued was, to me, the standout scene of the week. Probably wasn't to you, because you're absolutely hating everything about this. But it was Rue basically having a little bit of a tussle with him. But he's absolutely clueless about it. Like, yeah. And this is what is fascinating about this scene to me. Rue is like, but the baby was a good weight. It was dressed. It had a toy. It was clearly not, you know, harmed.
Not neglected.
Neglected. Yeah. It's somebody, the mother is struggling. And she's trying, and being a mother who gave up a child herself, she comes from a place of greater understanding than he does. And it's very black, but what a scene, because we're all reading between the lines and we're like, yeah, Martha, she gave up adoption. She wasn't ready. There's all these extenuating circumstances why a mother might do this, right?
Yeah.
Life isn't black and white, or as black and white as Tani's trying to say it is. And he won't hear it, will he? He's just like, family is everything. This is a massive, like, I just can't wrap my head around it. And her sort of gently trying to make him see that there's more to a decision like that from a place of experience was just glorious for a long-term viewer, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the we talked about it last week, but the talk between Mr. Stewart and Rue, you know, where he's sort of checking in with her and going, this must bring back memories for you. And she's like, yeah, it does a bit, but I think about it every day. That was good to see. But obviously, it wasn't just that one-off conversation. We're now seeing it, even though Tani is clueless and he doesn't have a clue why, you know, Rue might be affected by this. But obviously we know, and we can tell by her face and, like you say, her reactions and stuff. So it is really good that it's still being acknowledged, because this is something that the show does get criticised for, that we have a long memory, but the show doesn't always seem to remember that 35 years of history that, you know, has happened previously. So...
Yeah. It's amazing. I actually love that Tani has no idea what she's talking about. I love that.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't, would he? Why would he know?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a collision of old school and new school, isn't it? You know. I'm just sort of proper analysing the whole thing. You know, old home away, new home and away. You know, literally butting heads right there and then. And she doesn't patronise him either, because Rue, you know, you've got to watch Rue. Right? You know what she's like. She doesn't patronize him. She doesn't even tell him. Because if he knew, I think he might try and say things differently that he doesn't mean, you know, just to try and sort of show empathy. Like, we all say things that are deep that really are just for that other person and not you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we had his absolute true reaction because he know what he was saying to her, really.
Yeah.
And what he was saying could have upset her deeply, actually.
I think it could upset a lot of people, not just people in Rue's situation. I just think that, you know, that lack of empathy for somebody, and that it's almost like a gaslighting of the fact that postnatal depression exists, and it's something that women do go through, and it's something that's still now in 2024 is not understood, misdiagnosed, you know. Oh, you're just a bit tired, you're just a bit, you know, you just need a nap, that kind of the fact that he hasn't even acknowledged that this person, this woman that's given birth, could be going through this. And just, you know, and as a man to say it's not good enough, it's not, you know what I mean, it's it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and I'm not in Rue's situation. So
Very fascinating scene, wasn't it?
For all
the above reasons. Elsewhere in the bay, Rose is getting not very far, actually, with finding mum.
She got called incompetent by the Coastal News. And not by us, for a change.
I know, I did chuckle because I thought, oh God, someone's been listening.
Oh dear.
Sarge is going to do a press conference But he can't make it. Whoa, and behold, Rose has to do it. And you're like, oh my God, she's ill-prepared. And you're like, oh, because remember on First Look, we were like, someone's let the name out.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, remember?
Yeah.
Someone's, you know, let slip. I was like, oh God. And we actually said it was Tane deliberately. Like, oh,
God, no, I did blame him. I thought he was going to sabotage and just, it's my baby. She's caught by her.
Yeah. And the mum's a skank. But no, it didn't happen like that. And actually, I was quite impressed with her impromptu press conference, actually. Rose came.
She was quite good. And also, surprisingly, Marley was quite supportive.
Yes, she rose to the occasion, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah, it was interesting, that scene, because obviously Marley for quite a while now has been a bit sort of dismissive of Rose and her work issues and her, you know, her the fact that she's been promoted and she's finding it a bit difficult to find a feat. She's doing duties that she wouldn't normally do, and you know, when you do start a new job, it is a bit scary having to pick up things that you're not used to doing that aren't second nature yet. And he just seemed to be like just dismissing all of that and all of her concerns. But this week he had her back, and it was actually nice to see. And I was like, oh, he doesn't hate his girlfriend. He doesn't hate the fact that she's a cop. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, he could change again next week, because we seem to be getting a different Marley every 3 days at the moment.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And we actually were thinking, oh, is it because he's not really into her? Because and this feeds into that argument, because This is about the baby. This is like, relationship aside, like, we need to find the mother. So I'm still on that train, I'm going to be honest.
When it
comes to Marley. Right. Rose, this goes ahead. This press conference goes out, this press everywhere. And Rose is later telling Alf about, you know, what this experience that she had back at hospital with Tane and all, you know, what's going on. And prying ears, flick over here, it doesn't sheen. She's like, goes up to the hospital. And we had another good scene here where just the way they're shooting this at the minute. You know that scene where she comes through the hospital and the camera follows her from behind?
We have
this sort of out of focus shot of Felicity following the baby noise, you know, do you know what I mean? And Tane's there, and he's singing in Maori to Maya, and she's sort of watching on. I just thought it was just the way that was shot, and just conveys this sort of sense of, like, not panic, but like, you know, like I felt in Flick's shoes at that moment. I just felt like Flick's anxiety, you know, what am I going to find? This, she's way out of a comfort zone. And when she finally arrives at the destination, she is actually filled with warmth from seeing Tane with the baby in his element, as she says it. And they have this really nice chat, I thought, you know, where he explains the foster situation, and she tells him the supportive things he wants to hear. And I left that scene thinking, that was great. That was really adult, you know, like, considering what we've gone through, considering what we've said to each other, that was fantastic and showed great sort of journey development from where we started.
Yeah.
And then she gets home and she starts researching becoming a foster carer. And then I'm like, my mind's running wild, thinking, I'm so confused. Like, all it took was you to see him with a baby. What? Oh, and then I'm thinking, is this like the ultimate apology? You know, like,
oh God. Yeah.
You know, I ruined it all, so here's me trying to make it up to you. I'm racking my brain at this now, thinking, how have you gone from that to that?
Yeah. Oh, I just felt uncomfortable, I'll be honest. I hated this whole thing. I'm still hating it. Because I just know in the back of my mind, she doesn't want kids. you know, she hasn't changed her mind. She just wants Tane. She feels guilty, like you say. Is she trying to fix her marriage? Is she trying to get him back? This whole thing just gave me the ick until Cash stepped in. I was just like, oh, are we really going here? Because I can't.
Cash was sort of you, wasn't it? Like saying, look, listen to yourself, woman. Like, you're, he does convince her to sleep on it, but it doesn't seem to change anything, does it? And he's like, do you actually think this could save your marriage? Listen to yourself. And you're thinking, she needs to hear things like this.
Yeah.
Because she is like that, isn't she? She's a bit away with the fairies, a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, away.
And it's a whole person. They're just, it's not like a doll or, you know what I mean? It's, this is a person we're talking about. And this is a fostering. I know it's temporary, but that you're shaping this kid's, you know, most important months or years or however long that they have her for. And I think the thing with Cash was when he said, you know, if it wasn't this baby, if you become an emergency foster carer and you get a phone call out of the blue, you know, we've got a baby here that needs a home. We've got a child here that needs a home. It's not a child that Tane knows. It's not a child that Tane has any, you know, emotional connection to. Would you take that child in? And she says no. And I thought, well, yeah, well, this is the reason you're not doing it for the, it's what I said last week, it's not in the best interest of the child that she becomes the foster parent. It's not in the best interest of the child that Tane becomes the foster parent. It's what they want. It's not, you know what I mean? And I find it really selfish, and that's why it makes me uncomfortable, because I'm like, this is a baby.
A
vulnerable baby that needs someone to do literally everything for them because they can't do anything for themselves. And these are the two people that,
I think this storyline is written like this to invoke that kind of reaction from us.
Do you think so? I think a lot of fans are seeing it as, oh, yay, they're going to get back together and have a foster kid and live happy ever after. How lovely. And I'm like, ugh, no.
No, I don't think that's the intention here. I think it's, you know, Flick's that selfish trait of Flick, you know, that doesn't go, that's been a ripple throughout, you know.
Yeah.
We've spoken about it at length on here. I think that's it. And the fact that, that line you say about Cash saying, he held a mirror up to her and was like, you need to face this. You're doing this for the wrong reasons, and that was the penny drop moment.
Yeah.
She's doing it for nobody else but herself and her own gain. She even tells him to rack off in no uncertain terms.
Mm.
And you're like, that is the old Flick coming back, and that's why there's a huge you know, when I say at the hospital and she was talking to him, how grown up and how I just was watching it thinking, they've come such a long way. And then a few scenes later, she's at the house. This scene we're talking about now with Cash at the house and everything. I'm like, no, we haven't. They took me right to that point where I thought, yes, we're in a new era here with Tenacity. And then I was reeled right back. And I thought that was really clever.
The
way they've done that. That's how I'm thinking it.
I want to believe that. I want to believe that it's supposed to be showing us that nothing's actually changed and therefore they're not compatible and all that. So I'm just really worried because the reaction of the fans, and I've seen this on the hashtag with the Australia pace as well, and I don't know what's currently happening with the storyline in Australia, but the reaction is, oh, they're going to get back together, oh, they're going to have the perfect family, oh, this is really good because it means that Flick doesn't have to have the baby herself. You know, the baby just exists, and it's like the easy way to fix this marriage. And I was just, I literally just tried not to be sick because I was like, I can't. If this is meant to be that, if that's where we're going, I'm hating that, it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if it's what you said, then, you know, I kind of want that now because I'm like, yeah, if it's just meant to be teaching us that this is not, you know, nothing's changed and this is not going to be their happy ever after, and this is another lesson that they need to go through.
It's going to be disappointing if this is the long road back, as I keep saying, but like I don't know anything about the future. I've not seen things that you have, so that might be where our inference is parting.
I've only seen the fans sort of talking about, oh, wouldn't it be great if they got back together, and then they've got this baby, and then, you know, everything will be perfect because, you know, she doesn't have to get pregnant and have the baby herself. It's already here. Like, the hard bit's been done. And I'm like, no, the hard bit is about to start. If they decide to be foster parents to this baby or any baby
don't
that comes in.
Don't listen to it. Don't listen to the noise. Remember the lyric thing? And you loved them. Well, loved is a strong word. But
well, no. I like them more than most people did for about a year.
And you read it because of what you read on the Australia Pays hashtag.
I was.
Learn your lesson, girl. Learn your lesson.
You're right. I back down. You are right, 100%.
Right, so, because we've talked about the storyline that you want to fast forward, we've talked about it for ages, so let's get on with it. We're just going to have to see, aren't we? Ride the wave and just see. It looks like, as well, there's going to be a lot more complications coming because, you know, Dana, bless her cotton socks, falls for this journal that's hanging around that Al's kicked out of the blooming surf club for taking pictures of things and asking too many questions. Al knows it, doesn't he? Close ranks with the community. Alf knows a jig, but Dana's new to this, and she, bless her, he's caught her at a low ebb romantically. She's just rejected by Xander
twice.
and he's basically she's invisible to him, like, what on earth is he doing? So this bloke sort of offers to buy her a coffee, and she's like, oh, two and two together's six. And thinks she's on some sort of coffee date, giving him all the details from the hospital, you silly girl.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be someone from that blooming rag, Coastal News. So there's, you know, Xander's the one to tell her as well, which is salt in the wound, isn't it?
Literally salt in salt. Oh, God. Yes. It was the way that he said it as well. He was like, oh, well, I didn't know you wanted to go out with a journalist. I was like, you could have told her 10 minutes ago, because if you knew that he was a journalist, why didn't you warn her?
Exactly. What Xander. He's doing my head in, Xander, this week. And then he's on, you know, when she's like, do you want to, you know, like when she's having that glass of wine, she's like, have a post-work for me.
Have a drink. He's like, nah, I'm tired.
Shut up. You've just rejected, you know, like, what's he playing at, man?
I know. You'd pull up a chair and try, like, if he genuinely wants to be just friends and he doesn't want to date her, and he thinks that, you know, by rejecting her and saying you'd like a little sister to me, which is just horrendous. If he wants to claw his way back in and be friends with her, the best thing to do is to have sit down at that bar, have a quick drink, talk like mates would, and, you know, have a, you know, yarn about your day and vent and all that sort of stuff that mates do. And then you go, right, I better go now because I've sat here for half an hour and I'm absolutely shattered. I've just finished work and I'm going to go home and have a shower, etc., go to bed. But half an hour out of his day just to fix that friendship, if it genuinely means that much to him, wouldn't have took, you know, much effort.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Sophie. Couldn't have said it better myself. I thought he was out of order, and he's let himself down this week.
Yes, he's just running away. He's just running away with his tail between his legs. Oh, I don't know how to deal with this.
We suspect he does have feelings, so I don't know what his problem is, really. Not like one of us married, unlike some. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I know exactly what you mean.
That's another thing. Come on to that. Right, Cash. He was hating that job. He's even tried it on days. It's still not exciting. So he's bagged himself a better job as a personal bodyguard. Whip, whip, whip. And I thought this was a bit sort of left field, but then I really got into it when it started. Very nice yacht on a marina somewhere. And a very nice suit, I must say. Scrubs up well, Cash, doesn't it? Mean you?
God. I was on the floor. You had to peel off the floor. I was like, hello, Cash. I'm sorry. I apologise.
It works. Whoever's idea this was, mwah. Stevie Marlowe, sarcastic movie star, I've put here. She's
her.
A right one, isn't she?
I liked her. I like a sarcastic lady.
Yeah, I quite like. She's a breath of fresh air, really, isn't she? And
yeah,
phenomenal actress already. I can tell she's going to be good.
Yeah.
she's already got rid of the guy before him because he didn't look good in his suit.
I would have done the same. I love how she was like circling Cash, you know, when he was first on the yacht and he was like, should we start the interview? And she's like, oh, I already have, because she'd been circling him, looking at him in a suit like he's a seal and she's a shark. I was like, yeah, take it all in, Stevie, let's have another look.
Did you notice who the bodyguard was who was leaving when he arrived?
No, who was it?
It was the guy. Have you seen Colin from Accounts?
Oh no, it's on my list.
Put it at the top of your list, Sophie, seriously. Okay. I actually recorded a clip of it the other day to send you and never actually sent it. I'll send it later.
I didn't really look at him that much, to be honest. I was too busy staring at Cash.
I'm sorry. He's really funny in Colin from Accounts. That was him. Same
actor. Okay.
You need to watch it, honestly.
It's on my list. I added it to my list because you told me to about a year ago.
There'll be a second season soon as well. Right, so he ends up sort of trying to interview for this job. She's all getting the espresso martinis out. And Cash, you know, he's all business is Cash, isn't he? You know what I mean? Mm. Not about that. Mm-hmm. Wants to, you know, find out about the job and why he's there and all the rest of it. She gets the file out about the stalker. I'm thinking, not another one. turns out the popo have been useless. Well, yes, if it's under the Yabby Creek jurisdiction, I can understand. And that's why she needs a bodyguard. So his advice is to get a low profile, stay off social media, and she is not happy about that, is she? This is her job. She wants to go through all the red carpet events. She wants to do the social meds. She's all into it all, like people are, I suppose, in the celebrity world. And he says, no, if you can't make any sacrifices for your own safety, this is not for me. I'm going to leave. See you later. Leaves the boat. The next day, she turns up outside his humble home in Summer Bay, winds the window down and is like, I don't take no for an answer. And I'm like, ooh, this girl's got sass. She ends up coming in and she's the lady who knows what she wants. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eden likes her.
Exactly.
So
let's explore that as well, please.
Well, the actress for Eden said that she's bisexual, but no, it's not been a whiff, has there?
No, yeah, Eden was meant to be a bisexual character. That's what Steph said, isn't it? But we haven't seen any. I don't know where the evidence is of that. But, yeah.
We could do a Willow. Do you know what I mean? We can do that. That would be good, actually.
It would be good. I want Cash as well, though. I want all three of them involved. Some kind of like, throuple thing.
You've really thought about this, haven't you, actually?
I've thought about it a lot this week.
This has really affected you.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few showers this week. Yeah, so I've been overthinking.
He ends up taking the job, doesn't he, in the end? And it's not rules. Oh, God, he's so embarrassing. He's like walking around, he's like, there was room clear. Living room clear. We get off the balcony.
What are you doing out there? Breathing.
It's all business until he leaves somebody else in charge who gets food poisoning, suspected, murder plot.
Was it Paul or something?
Paul's
been poisoned.
No, he hasn't. He's had a dodgy kebab or something. I was crying.
He had a bad kebab on the way to work. Why did he eat again then? Anyway.
Don't get me wrong, on the way to work, I'm partial to a Greg's breakfast.
This was like nighttime. Cash had done the day shift and he was supposed to be the night cover to come and just guard her while she's asleep, I'd imagine. So he's had his dinner on his way. He's had a second dinner when he's with her.
Paul's a big fella. Listen, like I said, the odd pan of chocolate. I draw the line at a cinnamon roll, but I'm not getting a kebab on the way to work. I'm sorry.
Sorry, not good. Not good.
What's going to happen? Why? Two, like, where is this going? Three, like, what's going to happen? Four, like, when? And what's the other W? Why again?
How? Where? When? Why?
Like,
I don't know. I honestly don't know any of the answers to any of those questions, but I still really am loving the storyline. I don't care where it goes. I just want to see Cash in a suit being all, ma'am. Oh, I'm loving it. This is like Kevin Costner and you know, what's the name? I've forgotten her name. Singer. Whitney Houston.
Whitney, yeah.
This is Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston in Bodyguard in 1992 or whenever it came out. And I am all over this.
It is good, isn't it? I even liked him in his Paul Blart uniform, you know.
The Mall Cop. This is way more exciting than the Mall Cop, isn't it? Let's face it. This is good. I like this.
Just put a jacket on.
I like this. I like where this is going. I don't care what, I don't know. I don't care what happens. I just want more of this.
I hope it doesn't end up, you know, a la Bodyguard, the movie. I hope it doesn't end up in a bit of a...
Oh, he's going to have to come across this stalker at some point. This is going to escalate. This guy is broken into...
Oh, no, I mean like romantically.
Oh, you mean, oh, yeah, because she's obsessed with Cash, isn't she, basically? Mm-hmm. So she doesn't want this poor guy. She doesn't want anyone else. She wants Cash. She feels safe with him. He, you know, because let's face it, Cash is like, you'd feel safe with Cash. I would, because he feels like he knows what he's doing and he's very serious. But then also, like, this poor guy looked a bit creepy. Whereas Cash, you can have a conversation with him. He is quite funny in a really dry way, which is good. He's got a personality. He's got a personality now. He didn't have one a couple of years ago because we used to complain about his personality not existing. But he does have one now. He's come out of his shell, and he is the kind of person that you'd feel safe around. And I think because she is so scared, and it's probably the first time she has felt safe, she's latched onto him, hasn't she? And now she doesn't want him to go anywhere. Or
I'm going to put.
Is it a crush, or is it just she feels safe?
I'm going to put something to you.
Oh,
okay.
Go on.
That whole episode where she's ringing him constantly, get over here, Paul's been poisoned by the kebab or whatever. Mm. And then he rushes over there and she's all like, I'm so frightened, I've been sat here for hours thinking I'm going to die. Goes off into the room in a huff and all that stuff.
Mm.
Is that deliberate behavior to entrap him there so that he'll spend time with her and not at home with Eden?
I think she's using it, yeah, because I think it was very convenient that this guy got poorly. And also, she said the police, you know, an ambulance came and took him away, and the police came, but then she's still on her own. So I reckon she probably turned the police away because they wouldn't have just left her there and said,
yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They would have said, why have you got a bodyguard? You know, oh, I'm being stalked. Okay, do we need to call anybody? You know, can you be on your own? And she's obviously turned them away. So I don't think they would have, mind you, they're incompetent, aren't they? So we know that already. Maybe they did leave her on her own.
They're too busy looking for a baby, a mum.
Yeah. And then obviously when Cash rang her, when he was on his way, and he rang her and he goes, I'm on my way, like, and she didn't pick her phone up, he left her a voicemail. And then he got there and she was just sat on the sofa, wasn't she? And I was like, well, what's she been doing all this time? Where's her phone? You know, if you're scared, you'll be holding your phone waiting for it to ring, wouldn't you? And the minute Cash rang you, you'd answer. So yeah. I think there's possibly some game playing here because she wants to make him worried about her and wants to make him, like, I don't know whether it's a romantic thing yet, it could be, or whether it's just he's the first person that's made her feel safe and she doesn't feel safe without him. So she needs to try and make sure that he's there all the time. I don't know. It could be either, couldn't it?
Yeah, we need one to watch, I think. I don't know if I trust her yet.
Do you think the stalker's real then? Are you saying that you think this is all made up or...? She could have took those photos of herself and...
She could have done. Yeah, you're right. She could have done. But I do believe that side of it at the moment. I do believe that, actually. Okay. But I'm a bit like, I think she is a woman who isn't used to being told no.
Oh, and she said that, though, didn't she?
Yeah. And I think she likes what she sees. I mean, she's human.
She's got eyes, you know.
Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
Do I believe that she's being stalked? Yeah, I do. I think, you know, that with these soaps, there's always that potential plot twist that they're doing it to themselves and they're doing it to make their, you know, if this, if a Hollywood actress comes out and says she's being stalked, or, you know, somebody on the up and up, you know, somebody that's not quite, you know, famous but not quite broken through, has this, like, oh, they're being stalked, they've got a bodyguard or whatever, does that make you more famous? Is it a bit of a publicity stunt type thing? That's what I've got in the back of my head, that this could be her. Or maybe she just likes the drama. Maybe she just likes...
Maybe. She only seems to have done one movie.
I don't even remember the name of it, but yeah.
Death so, Rose.
That was it. That was it. In the back of my mind, I'm always overthinking and I'm always sceptical because she's a newbie again. So I'm always like, well, is she really who she says she is? Is she really being stalked, etc.? Those pictures could be staged because... She could just set up a camera across the room and take a picture of her pretending to be asleep. You know, that you don't know that there's somebody in her house. But I'm trying to take it on face value. And I'm trying to go along with the story and think, right, so she's an actress. She's being stalked. She's, you know, needs a bodyguard. She just happened to find one that potentially she fancies. Potentially. So it's not just a bodyguard. Maybe there are feelings there, or there will be feelings there. I don't know. I'm trying to take it at face value at the moment because I don't, everything else that's going on in the show, I'm not that keen on, and this is the one thing that's keeping me going. So,
take it at face value is probably the best advice with this, let's face it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. Right, Theo's nerves are back. Doesn't want to do this radio interview, which I don't know if I'm just all confused at this point with these episodes, but I thought this radio interview had been done. At this point, I was like, oh,
he's done the print one, so he's done the one that was online, which is just somebody typed up what he said. This one's live on the radio, so if he messes this up, there's no going back, it's out there forever. So
he's out there, but he's got no pills, has he? So, no pills, no courage. that's a catchphrase. Meanwhile, he's flapping about this, isn't he, and wanting the pills and all the rest of it. And Valerie has gone and paid Kirby a visit, which I didn't see coming. Until I realised that I remember she thought she saw her reporting her to the police. And I thought, oh, yeah, right, makes sense. And she's explaining to her, like, don't tell anyone because I've cut him off now. Like, he's getting no pills off me now. I've cut him off and I want what you want and we want the best for him and... You know, and I promise I won't lead him astray. But actually, in the very next breath, Theo is literally begging her at this point for more. Like, you know, and he's saying things like, don't make me beg whilst begging. I mean, he's all but on his knees, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? Not another drink while I was...
Yeah.
She doesn't want to risk it. So fair play to her. She didn't care, and I thought she would, to be honest. This is a coping thing that she's developed, and I think she's realised it's not good for him. It's not what he needs.
No.
I genuinely think she's realised that at this point, which I'm pleased about. Because it means there's a bit of something in there. Do you know what I mean? A bit of what Leah maybe saw in her. Do you know when she was with her? And I thought, okay, give the girl a chance. And he goes, well, give me the dealer's number then. And you're like, that's a bit of a, you know, she could wash her hands of it and say it's not me, but let him carry on. And I thought, this is not good. She does actually reluctantly agree to it in the end. He ends up, you know, a smashing interview. But now he's cut her out of it. I'm worried here because, like, I'm thinking she's not going to be aware of what he's getting and where from and how many and what. Like, this even puts Valerie in the dark a bit now. With it, and I'm a bit worried about that. I think at least with her supplying him, she knew what he was doing and how much and all the rest of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because we don't even know if it's the same thing, because, you know, the first time or the first couple of times we've seen him take this, he kind of has a really up doesn't he, for about a couple of hours, and she says, oh, you know, give it a couple of hours to wear off, and then, you know, then they, it wears off and he does the come down thing where he feels a bit crap and everything else.
Yeah. But,
the way that this was played out, I don't know whether it's the same drugs, because he walks into the kitchen. Don't you notice this? Justin was in the kitchen. He walked in. He kind of swallowed this tablet with a cup of tea by the looks of things. I was like, ugh. Or coffee. I don't know. It was definitely a mug of something that he swallowed this tablet with. And then he was calm. And then I think Justin even said, oh, you know, to Kirby, have you ever seen it? Have you ever heard him that calm in an interview before? And she was like, no. And I was like, well, he wasn't calm the first couple of times he took this drug. Exactly. Is it even the same thing?
Oh, yeah. I'd not even thought about that. Yeah, because you're right. Because Justin said, oh, he doesn't seem worried enough or something.
Yeah, he seems really calm. But he said it later to Kirby. So after the interview was done, he said something to Kirby about, you know, have you ever heard him so calm in an interview or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm not sure it's the same. I'm not sure what he's taking now, because it's, unless he's building up more of a tolerance to whatever it is. I mean, we assumed it was ecstasy the first couple of, because it looked like he behaved like it. There was clues with Valerie trying to keep him hydrated by drinking water. So I was like, I think it's ecstasy. But
look, it's going to be very, very easy. Sure. If he's talking to the dealer directly, it's going to be very easy for them to push something else onto him, isn't it? So you're probably
exactly
right.
Yeah, we don't know what it is now. So it was less of an up this time.
I think this is going one direction, and it's to Northern Districts.
Rehab. I'm seeing rehab.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing some sort of major accident, him ending up at the hospital in a near-death experience.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yes, because we've already had the foreshadowing of Kirby saying, I can't believe you were surfing while you were cooked.
Yeah.
Danger, danger.
Oh, yeah. And then it's all going to come out that he's got it in his system. That's my prediction, anyway.
We haven't had a car crash for a while.
Okay.
It's been about 6 weeks.
We're still sweeping the road. Class. How anyone gets car insurance over there, I have no idea. Did you know 900 people this year came up, you know, died in a motorcycle accident? Was it 900 or was it 300?
I think it was 300. Yes, I think it was 300, because I went and looked it up, and it was 280-something people. But I also found out that 100 people died in Australia falling down the stairs last year. So stairs are nearly as dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah.
This explains all these one-story houses.
It does, doesn't it?
On Home and Away.
People aren't used to stairs. When they see them, they're like, what on earth is this? Ah!
I must admit, I've nearly gone head down my stairs.
Oh, everyone, mine are lethal. I'm convinced that I'm going to die. I'm convinced.
Everybody complains about how steep mine are. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. It's like going up Everest, going up my stairs.
It's like a ladder. They're so steep. Is yours an older house? Mine is. Yeah, I think it's like an old house thing, isn't it?
Edwardian cottage thing, yeah.
Yeah. Mine's pre-war, old house. Yeah. I think it's just a thing, isn't it? So I go to, if she's listening, hello. I go to my mother-in-law's house, and her stairs, I feel like I'm going nowhere because they're so flat. Like, I'm not ascending anywhere because I'm so used to my stairs. But yeah, there we go. This is a very boring podcast. Let's get on with more of it. We're talking about Kirby. Yeah. We've not really talked about it on the pod, actually, for quite a good reason. But Kirby and Justin have been working these past few months on getting Remy's bike back up to scratch as some sort of surprise for him, you know, after the big accident. And she's finally given it to him, and Bree is fuming. She's mad, isn't she? Let's face it. She tells him, and I sort of get it. Like, she's saying, you know, you nearly died riding it, and you must be insane. And, you know, that thing nearly made the thing I love die, and, you know, I can't see you do it again. And he tries to talk her down, saying, look, I can't even put a shirt on. Like, it's not happening anytime soon. Chill your beans, woman, sort of conversation. And that seems to appease her, like, oh yeah, let's throw it out to the future, like, futurals problem, you know, fair dues. And then she goes out, she nips out for like breakfast or whatever, and he literally jumps straight on the bike and revs and turns it over. And of course she sees it, and you're just like, this is ridiculous.
I was actually laughing all the way through this scene.
It was the death stare.
I was just waiting for it because, you know, he was trying to get the bike going, and then he did get it going, and then his little face all lit up, and I was like, oh, look at him, he's so happy, and he's gonna get a smack in a minute. And I was waiting to see her because it kept showing, like, you know, the mirrors on the bike, and I kept thinking, oh, we're gonna see her face in the mirror in a minute, or we're gonna I was just waiting for it, and then obviously we saw the camera pan and she's there in the background, and I was like, there it is.
I tell you, the bit where I thought she was going to get a smack, he was going to get a smack, was the bit when she's explaining why, you know, why she's, you know, like this. And he's, she comes out with all the stats, you know, 300 deaths, whatever. And he
organ
goes,
organ donor. You're an organ donor.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Roadkill.
And then he just goes, well, I only came off it once and it wasn't my fault. I was thinking, oh my God, shut up.
Well, I actually thought something similar before he even said that out loud. I was like, well, to be fair to him, he was doing the right thing. He was on the right side of the road. The car that crashed into him was on the wrong side of the road. The driver was drinking. He wasn't looking where he was going. He was arguing with his brother, touching the stereo radio or whatever.
Thanks for
saying. You know, it wasn't his fault. And I don't know what he could have done differently, to be honest.
Oh, did I know you were going to back him up?
He had a point. I'm sorry, but he apart from that day, we've got no evidence that he's a dangerous driver or that he takes any risks.
Understand or... that this is a trigger for her.
Like, yes, yeah, I can totally understand it. I just don't like the way that she's gone about the whole it's me or the bike thing.
Well, yeah, she does. Yeah, she gets onto that, doesn't she? She's like, if you get back on that thing, we're through. Mm. Now, this is the bit I can see that I understand her point, and I understand for him it's something he enjoys doing. Like, she knew he rode a bike when she got with him. Like, that's him. Like, I'm not on anyone's side here, right? Mm. Until he starts lying to her. And then I'm like, that's not cool, mate. Like, either tell her she's out of order for giving you the ultimatum and stick up for yourself and say, if that's what I want to decide to do in the future, that's what I want to do. You know what I mean? Like, or like agree to give it up because you scared yourself shitless anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like,
one or
the other. Don't sort of tell her what she wants to wear and then lie about it and say you're going to get on it anyway and you're just going to store it in a mate's garage or whoever was on the phone to.
I think it was Justin.
It's just not going to end well. And do you know what? Mm. We were saying last week, the writing's on the wall with this couple.
Yeah.
So this is probably, and this is probably going to make or break them, isn't it?
It's a really stupid reason to break up, but I think we do need a reason, don't we, to get rid of this couple because it's not working. So, yeah, I'll Jenny this.
Yeah, we're happy to. And we think, we were talking on last week's podcast that we think Bree needs this to develop a character. Like, she's sort of stalled in this relationship. Mm. And I think she needs out of it, to be honest. So I'm happy to go with it, just like you said. To get her out of the relationship, and then, you know, maybe we can see a bit more of her. Listen to last week's pod to go relive all that discussion if you want. So it's going to happen. It's on the wall.
Yeah.
It's on the wall. Now, John thinks a wedding is just what we all need around here. And I'm like, yes. Yes. Booze, photographs, cake. I'm there. And it does put his foot in it a bit, though. You know that scene.
This is a great scene. This is a great scene.
At the coffee car.
Yeah.
And he's like, if my bride went to a clinic before a wedding, I'd know something was up.
And Irene's like, you numpty.
And she's like slapping the coffee machine or whatever.
This was a really good scene. It was a perfect John scene.
Just what we needed, I thought.
Yeah.
It was a bit high stakes. He does apologise to Justin. They have a lovely chat, don't they, in the end. Justin's not like this. You know, I never saw the lead up to a wedding going like this, but this is where I am. And then John has this brainwave that exactly what they need, without having spoken to them, is a celebrant. And do you know what? He's going to do it. And I think this is a glorious idea. I think this is amazing.
It's brilliant. We need this. We need comedy John making it all about him. We need this. Because this wedding thing, I'm sorry, it's been on the table, it's been off the table. It's getting to the point where I wasn't getting that excited by it anymore. But the idea of John marrying them and becoming the celebrant and the speech that he will give and the chaos of the day that will be John Palmer show, I'm here for it now. I'm into it.
Do you remember on Friends and Joey?
Yes, in the war outfit. Yeah.
I've got that, me, like Navy John in my mind. Like,
oh no, do you reckon he's going to wear his Navy uniform? Oh, I would die. I would die. I think he can Honestly. Squeeze into his old Navy uniform. That would be brilliant. I'd love that.
This is getting me excited for the wedding.
Me too, because I wasn't really caring until this point. And now I'm like, if John's going to be there, I'm there.
Yeah, so let's see. But I mean, Justin and Leah might not go for it, though. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean, Leah's a flight risk. Let's face it; she'll be in Cyprus before this wedding happens. So, yeah.
And I just want the wedding now. Is it when we're 5 weeks away in the now? Maybe.
Think so.
Oh, something like that, because our pace. Get on with it.
Yeah.
Get on with it. Right. Something else I'm scoffing at. Mac and Levi run into each other this week.
Oh, yeah.
We're back in this loop again towards the tail end of this week. And they're at Northern Districts and she is cold AF. I've written on my notes. She don't want to know, does she? Do you remember last week she stormed out? She said, I've had enough.
Yeah. Well, she was on the phone to him and she said, don't call me because you're whispering and that means your wife's in the next room. Bye, Levi.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, we've been very critical of her. We've given her a hard time, Mac, to be fair. And I'm not going to be as harsh on her this week, and I'll explain why in a minute. Well, for some of it, anyway. He does say to her, look, let's go somewhere and talk, and she agrees. So they go for this walk and talk, don't they? And they talk through things, and she's decided now. Suddenly, now she's, you know, had her end away a few times. She's decided that she doesn't want to be the reason his marriage is over. Now, we predicted a couple of weeks back, you'll remember, that he would turn on the whole, I'll leave her for you. Don't worry, you're the one I want to be with, and I'm going to tell her. And he, like clockwork, he did it, didn't he, last week?
Yeah.
And then she got spooked by that. But she's also not happy that she's the other woman and has to and he chooses her sometimes. So you're like, Mac's all confused about what she really wants. And now she's saying, now he said the words, I'm going to end my marriage. She's like freaking out about it and doesn't want to be the reason. And you're thinking, well, you are going to be whether you carry on with this relationship or not now, because the deed is done.
Yeah.
You know, and it will come out in the wash, whether you stay with him or not. Do you know what I mean? And you're just thinking, you are naive beyond anything I can think right now, woman.
Yeah.
They get awkwardly interrupted by what's her name? Eden.
Several times they get caught talking, don't they? And they're like, oh, I was just asking him a question. I was just telling him I went surfing. I was just
So how is she not putting things together by now is beyond.
I know. It's very awkward. Yeah. I think it's three times that she's caught them talking and they've been like, oh, we were just,
I actually expected that final one, you know, on the beach. I actually expected her to say, you do keep running into each other. You know, like.
I know. Yeah, every time I turn around, you're talking to each other. What's going on?
Eden seems to have bought this whole I've taken patience on out of the city and Imogen doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Which is just ludicrous, really.
And also, we're hearing that Eden and Imogen are spending time together, going to gigs together, going out on nights out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, it only takes one text message to say, oh, did Levi get home okay? No, he's not come home tonight. What are you on about?
Yeah, it's going to slip up, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Eden's part of the lie. This is what I don't like. Mm. Eden's part of the cover-up, unbeknownst to her.
Yeah.
Through stupidity, you know, through naivety. But I do like that Eden is close to Imogen, because that I said last week, it's going to make it all the more delicious when it all comes. If she develops a relationship with Imogen, it's going to be even harder for it all to come out.
Yeah, and how much is she going to hate Mark? Because they were supposed to be not great friends, but they are acquaintances, aren't they, at least?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Mm. Eden and Levi are at Salt, and she's all organising trips to see Imogen, and Mac overhears all this and storms out of work again, even though she's got lots to say when Felicity's having work and storming out of work with a personal... double standards, mucho... and Levi later comes up to the farm and he basically says to Mac, we have something special. And she's all like, this is too much hard work. It's too complicated. And he says, look me in the eye and tell me it's over. You know, you're the one I want. I'm sure of it. You need to decide what you want. And I thought, hang on a minute, fella. Hang on a minute. Why is it her fault? Why is it her? Why is she the one who's got the problem here with it all? Do you know what I mean? She's the one who can't make her mind up. She's the one who needs to decide what she wants. Mm. No, you're the one who's married. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to sort your shit out, mate. That's all she's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, she's trying to back off. She's, in a roundabout way, she's trying to do the right thing by telling her to do one, because I'm not going to, your marriage is over and I'm not going to, you know, you need to go and sort that out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's trying to spare her feelings for the sake of that. What did you see it that way? Like, I was feeling at this.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, isn't there? Because it's just flip-flopping between the two of them and just, you know, I want to leave my... You know, first of all, she was like, oh, you know, did you sleep with your wife? And, you know, what do you feel about me? And, like, all of those questions to try and make him think... Do I want Mac or do I want my wife? So she's kind of forced him to think about this as a decision to make.
Yeah.
You know, it's me or her decision, essentially, is what Mac's forced him to think about. Mm. So she's put him in this position, and now he's actually doing it. Now he's actually thinking, well, who do I like spending time with? Do I want to be here or do I want to be at home? Mm. And he's obviously given it some thought. I don't know whether I fully believe him that he would leave his wife. I don't know. I don't know whether he's just saying that because he wants his cake and eat it and he doesn't want to give up Mac yet. And he's thinking, if I string her along for a bit more, I don't know. Because he keeps saying, I'll tell her tonight. And I'm not convinced that I think he's waiting for her to go, oh, no, let's wait another week. And then he's like, oh, okay, then let's wait another week.
He's waiting for her to. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can't trust him as far as you can throw him.
I don't trust him.
Even to the point where he's sort of wormed his way in and they start kissing, and she does stop it. To her credit, she stops it and says, kicks him out, and she does actually vocalize something that we've all been saying in the fandom, like on the tweet alongs and stuff. You know, she doesn't. Imogen wasn't real to her, like she was his name, but it's only now that she's hearing, you know, what kind of person she is, and Eden saying how great she is, and she's hearing things about it now. It's all become real. She admits that. She's like, that's what's changed for me. Like, it's not just a name. There's like a person there now, and I'm hearing all about how amazing she is, and I can't do this to her.
And she wants kids with him.
The most important thing, they're making plans, you know. She kicks him out. So I was sitting there thinking, Mac, you're redeeming yourself here, girl. Like, stay strong. And then I was thinking, there's a conscience there somewhere, and it's finally coming to the surface.
Mm.
And then she spends the next day agonizing over a phone. And then I thought, oh no, I was snapped right back. Summons him up there, doesn't she, and basically jumps him. And I'm like, right, well, just as you got me, girl, like, I'm back to you deserve everything that's coming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know it's wrong, but I want you anyway, is basically the message there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what can you do for this girl now she's a lost cause?
Yeah, I mean, as much as she wants to say that she feels bad, she can't feel that bad, can she? Because she wouldn't keep going back. Now, you know, oh, I feel really bad because Imogen's this really nice person that exists and I don't want you to leave her for me. And I know she wants kids with you, so you need to go. But actually, I do want you. Oh, I don't know where we go with this, really. I mean, I think she needs to call him out on his, what I think is potentially a lie, or his line. You know, if he has really decided he doesn't want to be in the marriage anymore, he does want Mac. I think what would have been sensible if Mac does want him is to call him out on that and say, okay, so I do still want you. So if you're serious about us, if you want to take a chance on us, if you want to leave her, what does that look like? What do we need to do? How do we get there? And that, I think that would be the only way that she could have come out of this with a bit more dignity.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, I'm not going to jump into bed with you. Let's make a plan. Because if this is serious, if we, you know, if this is a real thing, it's not just a sex thing. Let's make a plan and let's, you know, I don't know, yeah. Rip the plaster off, I guess. I think that's the only thing that she could have done that. But she's not done that.
Send him home, sort out, and then come back when you're single.
Yeah, basically. And then we can be together and then we can start over and then, you know, she needs to face the consequences of what's going to happen, because there are consequences. If he goes home and says, I found someone else and I'm moving to Summer Bay to live with her or whatever, you know, it's going to come out and Mac is going to be branded a homewrecker and, you know, all those other words that aren't very nice. She's going to get those thrown at her. But if her and Levi are the real deal and they're meant to be together, they should be able to weather all that and it should work.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they are. And I don't believe they can survive all of that. I don't think he really does want to leave his wife. But I think that she needs to call him on it, because I think just letting him just flit about getting everything he wants and not getting any consequences and this, oh, I'll leave her. She needs to actually push him on that now if she really is serious about him.
I completely agree. I think she should turn around and say to him, prove it. If I'm saying you want, prove it to him and let's do this. Yeah. Because right now it's lip service.
Yeah. I mean, even if he just separated from her, you know, just said, not tell Imogen the whole truth, the full truth and whatever, just said, look, I don't think this is what I want. Let's separate. You know, he moves out. And he goes and gets his own place and then, you know, carries on seeing Mac or whatever. And then they work up to being a couple and telling everybody, or I don't know. I just think the affair side of it needs to be official, doesn't it? It's not an affair. It's I'm separated. I'm now with you. We'll face the consequences together. But if she carries on just sleeping with him and then sending him back to the city and Imogen knowing nothing about it and her just keep saying, oh, I feel really guilty. It doesn't mean anything, Mac. It doesn't mean anything to feel guilty. If you carry on doing it, it's not a mistake. It's a choice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. And she's only going to agonize herself. She's going to put herself.
She thinks by saying out loud that she feels guilty, that she kind of like, oh, well, you know, I feel guilty, so you know it's kind of okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. If you feel guilty, you stop doing it.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. She's gone about this the whole wrong way.
Yeah.
I thought there was a glimmer of hope. You know, like I thought, come on, I'm giving the girl a break here now. She's sent him packing, and then I thought the very next day when she just did that, and got him back there, and basically him. I just thought, no. I'm done with you now. Like I was open to it. And you've just that's just like big time. Let yourself down, girl.
Hold me in your arms, don't let me go. I want to stay forever. Closer.